Blog Talk Radio.
This evening, we are going to get to talk to a guest who I was working on getting on earlier. Was it earlier this year or last year? I can't even remember now. Circumstances did not allow this guest to get on the show, but we were able to get a reschedule. So we're going to try to see if we can get him on this evening. Bullies are bad. I think we can all agree on that. Tonight on IMTN Worldwide Radio, on Books to Read, we feature author Ray Grizz Rakeups to discuss the book Oral, The Incredible Dog. Now, the reason I wanted to do this show initially was just the subject matter of bullying. Now, the first time we scheduled it and he wasn't able to make it on, I actually did basically a full show just talking about the topic. The second time we tried to do a reschedule, I kind of ended the show pretty quick. At the point where, you know, he wasn't able to make it on, so I didn't do another show about it. Tonight, I'm not sure because I have this scheduled out, and so I might do it again because of just certain things that are on the news and things of that nature. But we're going to try to call on him. I called earlier to see if I can get him on, and wasn't able to reach him, so I'm kind of worried. I'm not going to lie. So we'll see. Actually, let's go ahead and try it now. I was waiting to see if I get a text message back in return, and so far I haven't seen anything yet. So let's see if we can get them on the line, folks. Let's see if we can make this happen. Y'all get to hear this live. Never done this before. Live. Like.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
And y'all got to hear the voicemail. All right, so see if we can do this. 646-652-4479 is the number. If you're listening live on blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide right now, if you've ever been in a bullying situation before, or if you've ever observed someone else trying to bully someone, call in. Let's talk about this subject. Let's see if we can get any callers, any participation. Let's open up the chat line, too. Maybe you're listening somewhere where you're not necessarily able to talk on the phone, but you might be online to where you can actually respond via Instant Messenger. So I'll go ahead and open up the chat room for everybody. I'm doing that right now. And as that pulls up, let's make sure. You haven't texted me back. All right, so the chat room is almost open. There it is, connecting, and it's open. So if you're someone who's shy and don't like to talk on air, live on the radio for the whole world to listen to, you can always type in a message or a comment. So if you've been bullied before or you've observed somebody bullying someone else or you have been the bully, call in 646-652-4479. I would like to know an experience or what you felt, how you felt. If you were being bullied, you know, tell, you know, let's see, are you, I'm actually doing this on Facebook. How do you deal with bullies and your kids? I am now to let people know who might give you some advice. There we go. Let's see. 7-9. I'm doing this live on the air because right now Doesn't look like my guest is going to make it. Whoops. TV. On IMTM Worldwide Radio. I don't think I have a. I'm not going to be able to download the photo because I'm doing this from. Yeah, so I'll just do that. All right, so months ago when I first did the first show, I did talk about an incident. It wasn't really so much a bullying incident, but it's been a while, so I'll probably tell that story. Let me see if I can maximum MMS members is what? I don't even know what that meant. Well, that was strange. I'm trying to go through some of these messages real quick. All right, so wait until a few more people get on. 646-652-4479. By the way, I just had a casting on another subject as I await see if we can do another try for our guest. I'm doing a casting for my movie Transitions. Had one yesterday. Might have to have another one. And it's in Columbus, Georgia, and we're shooting the first two scenes on Sunday. So if you're in Columbus and you think you might want to be a part of this movie, I have a couple of roles that are open. You can email chris@imtmworldwide.com, or you can go to Instagram, imtmworldwide on Instagram, and say, hey, you heard it on Books to Read show that you're looking for people for a film. So if you want some information, guess what? The only way you can be able to get the information is actually hit me up, right? So if you're really interested, that's what you do. So when it comes to bullying, again, if you're a parent especially, it's like the worst thing that you can have happen. One of the worst things, not the worst, but it's a bad thing. To have your kid come home from school and say, hey, somebody was doing this and doing that, and physically or verbally, you know, attacking me for no reason or pushing me or for no reason. They're just picking me out of everybody else. They just bother me for whatever reason. And the reason that's such a big deal, more so than any other time in our lifetimes, is there's consequences now, right? Some people really don't like to be pushed, and they really come about with some consequences for being the push, right? Not the pusher, but the push. And you just don't know how people react to certain things like that anymore, right? But it's dangerous now, right? And, again, some people just take things way overboard, way over the top. You know there's people who just don't like other people. We know that. But now it's a matter of it's so outside the realm of just being normal now. You know what I'm saying? It's just scary out there. So that's one reason I wanted to have this particular guest on, because this concept of even talking about it, and again, this is not the only thing this book is talking about, but it's one of the leading things in that made me notice about the book was the YouTube video that he created to kind of promo the book. And that's how I kind of based this show off of. So I'm really hoping to get him on. Let's actually go ahead and try it again. Live on the air.
Miss Ray.
Hey, Ray, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio on Books to Read. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Awesome. How are you doing?
It's Friday. Oh, man.
Sorry I didn't catch your call earlier. I don't know what happened. It wouldn't answer.
All right. Well, no worries. We got you now. Like I said, I wanted to try at least one more time because I was about to start the show without you. I didn't want to do that again. So I'm glad I was able to get you because I wasn't prepared to do that tonight. Wanted to really, because I really pushed the audience to really listen about this particular book and subject. So let me do this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our guest on for tonight. His name is Ray Grizz Rakeups. His book is called Oro, The Incredible Dog. As I mentioned, this is a subject or a book that I've been wanting to have talked about for quite a while. And I've done a couple of shows and actually did a whole show about one of the subjects that the book talked about from the video that I saw. And that was one of the reasons I pushed hard to to get to talk about. So hopefully everyone hung in there a little bit and I'm still listening at this point because we're going to get ready to go into this interview right now. So first of all, thank you, Ray, for being on. Now, where are you located, Ray? Where are you in the United States of America?
Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita.
But my brain is in Colorado. I wish I lived in Colorado.
I've been to Colorado once, way long time ago. The mountains were kind of tough,
that's
nice area out there. Yeah,
that's what I liked about them.
Exactly, and it's clean. The clean air is wonderful. I remember that
yes.
too.
Yes.
All right, so let's do this. First and foremost, before we get into the book, what I usually try to do with my guests is to get a little bit of background. On the personal side, we know you're in Kansas. We know your heart is in Colorado. So where are you born and where you grew up?
Well, I was actually my dad was in the military, and I was born in Germany. I was the first American baby boy born in Germany after World War II, and then kind of was in Texas, and then moved up to Kansas in 1957, and then. Down into Wichita in 1980. And then I gone to Kansas State University and Friends University. I've got a bachelor's degree. I was going to be a teacher, but they closed this waiver down that was opening me up because I didn't have a teaching degree, but I wanted to be a history teacher. But...
Hmm.
And then the cute story on how I started the book, I don't know if you want me to tell you now or wait till we're
not yet.
Later.
Not yet. Definitely.
Okay.
We're going to delve into that book a lot, but I like to get backgrounds because the backgrounds usually kind of give a focus to what a person might do in the future. And usually sometimes even, especially on the book side, when I do the Books to Read show, there's usually a trigger of some sort. So growing up in Kansas, because it looks like a lot of your time was there, growing up in Kansas, what was that like? And were there different instances that made you think you were going to do something in particular with your life? You mentioned that teaching was, you know, kind of something that, you know, maybe came up later on. But anything in your childhood or just growing up as a teen got you to a point where even writing was something that you would want to do later in life?
Well, actually, I didn't start writing until almost 2000. Year 2000, I guess it was 1999 actually, but I went in the service and I was in Vietnam. I was on a helicopter attack squadron in Vietnam, and that kind of was interesting to some degree. Fortunately, I don't believe I killed anybody because I, after finding out so much about the Vietnamese, I thought we were there for the wrong purpose, but. And, you know, they don't learn anything. They're doing the same stuff in Afghanistan, all that. So it's crazy. I was, I was a wounded veteran, and that didn't end my career, but I just was not totally into fighting other people for, you know, that they were protecting their own rights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I didn't really do well. When I got out of the service, I went back to school, and I was a straight-A student in college because I basically didn't want to go to school when my mom and dad forced me to as a freshman. I didn't really like school, and so I basically, in my first year, I flunked out, and about all I knew how to do was drink beer. Fortunately,
oh, wow.
I don't do that anymore either. But, yeah, it was a... I'm not a profound writer. You know, some of my, I'm actually a member of two writing groups, one of them in the state writing group, Kansas Authors Club. And there's some of our writers that are in the club that, you know, just really prolific and write, you know, thousands of words a day. And I have that hard enough time writing 100 words a day sometimes because I have to be in the right frame of mind. You know, it's really not an easy avenue of and promoting is really tough, you know.
Yes.
You know, I've written six books. I haven't ever paid for any of them really.
Uh-huh. And I was going to ask about how many books you've written thus far, so you answered that question. So, and definitely it's not easy. Again, you have to be in a certain state because it's, you know, not just for your stories or anything like that, anybody who's ever written anything as far as just continuity and everything, but just the concentration part of it. You're writing, and whether or not you're actually physically writing it in a notepad or typing it on a computer or whatever, that's a lot. You know, just getting to a paragraph, to get to a chapter, to get to chapters plural, it's not easy. And I know that just from writing, trying to write a script every now and again, you could get distracted by the littlest thing, and then you're off and about, and then you have to come back and try to finish. So I definitely appreciate that. So anybody who can write a book is always, in my key, somebody, you know, big time to me.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the book a little bit now. So was this, now let me ask you this first of all, as far as the books that you've written, is this book number one, or is this kind of like in the middle?
Well, the series about Oro the Incredible Dog, that's what it started out to be. Each book is called something different, but it starts basically out with Oro. I've written
okay.
four in that series, and I've written two other books. One of them was a memoir, basically my first book, called Grizzly This and That. And then the second book was, that's when I started my series. My last book actually was a combination of a bunch of my, I used to write a newspaper column that was kind of like light humor, but not real humorous. And so I took my best columns over several years of writing for newspapers and put it into that book. And that was kind of a fun book to put together, and it's illustrated. And now all four of my theories about the dog, they're all illustrated. Each one has a chapter picture that relates to the chapter. And so I've upgraded those, and I'm really excited about it. I laugh sometimes. I say that my dog Oro kicks dirt in Lassie's face, and I don't mean that as a derogatory against Lassie, but because I enjoyed Lassie when I was a kid, you know, back in the black and white days, TV. And but this dog is just unbelievable what he can do and how he corresponds and talks to telepathically with his owner in that. And so. I wish it were a TV or a movie. I mean, TV or television series.
Well, now you're cutting into some of my later on questions, but let's do this. First of all, Lassie, folks, for those who don't know who Lassie is, for whatever reason, was one of the coolest dogs in TV history. It definitely is in the black and white time period for the most part. They did get the color eventually. Let's talk about the book itself, because so you mentioned the word telepathic, and people are like, well, what does he mean by telepathic? So give us a basic story without giving us the whole story, Ray.
Well, when the protagonist of the book is named Will, when he comes across this Oro, who's a golden retriever, they're sitting in the park together and against each other. They were the owner of the dog was putting a tent up, and so all of a sudden Will hears somebody talking to him, but he keeps looking around. He can't figure out what the heck's going on. Well, it ends up that Oro telepathically picks up every human's thoughts, and this was the first time he had ever been able to give his thoughts and have somebody actually pick it up. So it made it really a neat combination, because then he could put his talents to use, because there were so many times where, you know, if you're a person and you're telepathically, if you can pick up somebody else's mind, you know what they're thinking, but you can't do anything about it if they're a dog. You know, like if this person is going to go commit suicide, say, you know, as you're a dog. But in this case, if that were to happen, he could tell his owner what that person is thinking, and then Will can help them out. So that's basically every story, almost every chapter is a different story on how they help somebody out.
Wow. That's unique right there. Now, one of the things that I noted when I was given the information initially was the video. and there was a bit of a story in regards to a bully and how the young person was really not looking forward to going to school. Can you relay that a little bit to us?
Well, that was we were working on several clips, and that was one of the weakest clips that I wanted to do, but it was about a boy who was working, who came to clean house with his mother. I mean, his mother was watching him, and the boy was talking to the kids as they were in the house or whatever, and the dog picked up that he didn't like going to school because of this bully. And so then he goes and tells Will about it. I mean, the dog goes and tells Will about it, about this boy, problems in school. Well, then he was invited to come to school for Valentine's Day. And then he happened to mention to the boy, where is this, I forget the name of the boy's name, the bully, says, where is this boy, and does he take money from you? And he was surprised that Will knew what he was talking about, and he said, well, yeah, sometimes he takes our money, sometimes he takes our food. So he gave the kid a copy of a business card from one of the police officers, because he and the dog have helped the police solve some crimes that they couldn't figure out. And so he said, if that boy ever comes up to you again, give him this card and tell him the police are going to know. And so then that ended the bully's trials on and punishing the kids, you know, taking advantage of the kids in school. But there were two other clips that I thought were a lot better, but that was the one that they ended up publishing. I think it was
but the thing of it is that it got my attention, because again, in the world we live in now, and I was kind of mentioning this before I called you again, was that the world that we live in now, things are so much more heightened when it comes to just how people react to each other, and especially young people now, because, again, I don't know what's in the water, but people really hate each other. And when it comes to other, you know, kids, to not liking other particular kids for one reason or another, they're not ashamed to really kind of make it plain to everybody how much they don't like someone. And it gets very difficult to kind of go about day-to-day like that, especially nowadays, because everything is also public. Everything is in the public eye, especially with social media. So it doesn't take long for everybody else to know how much you don't like someone. It's tough to go to school now. I couldn't imagine having kids in school almost now. It's like everybody needs to be homeschooled at this point. But that's why I was looking at that subject part of it. And then I know there's some other about the book, but with the animal part and the dog part, everybody doesn't like dogs, but you know, dogs are still man's best friend. And in this particular unique aspect to where the dog is not just intuitive, he actually knows what you're thinking. And I thought that was pretty cool on how you pulled that together. So I just wanted to mention that to the audience, as far as, hey, this is one reason you should probably get this book. So what other aspects of this book do you feel that people need to be aware of, right?
Well, I think mainly it's, you know, speaking of how people are nowadays, I know in church, it's when I became baptized officially a few years ago, one of the things we had to do was we had to give everybody apologize, or to not harp on them on what they might have done to us, you know, in other words, forgive them. And that was really hard, because, you know, and you're supposed to, you don't have to forget, but you should forgive everybody. And that's a hard thing to do. And also the brotherly love. And I was supposed to, you know, treat everybody as myself, you know. And in today's times, you know, a lot of people live next door to somebody for years and don't even know who they are. And it's just like brotherly love just isn't round.
I was talking to someone just the other day. It's like, you know, you're far from the times where people have their screen doors open and you knew who your next door, the person across the street, the person the other side of across the street. Did you actually knew their name? Maybe not the last name, but at least you knew their name. Every now and again, you're over at someone else's yard talking, or you know, kids are playing basketball together. Now it's like if you get them to open the door, maybe. it's as far as human in between, and much less even look at each other. I mean, it's, even where I live now, it's like I've been here for about a month, and I haven't seen anybody almost. It's strange now,
yeah.
And I know a lot of it, you know, people are afraid, and it's the whole crime thing and everything like that, but that's in any place. But it's just like you just don't know anybody anymore. That's you know, yeah, I know it's not Andy Griffin type of a deal, but still, it's different now.
Well, in the book, the big thing is that they go out of their way to do service for others, and that's what I think, and I do that a lot on myself personally. There's times, you know, where I used to, if I was driving on the highway, see somebody pulled off the highway, just keep driving. I said, well, I'm glad I'm not broken down. Nowadays, I go by the highway, I pull over and see if I can help them, even if it's a phone call to help them out. Because I just believe that we should go out of our way to help others, and so, and a lot of people just still don't do that. You know, they don't, like, I give the right of way to somebody to try to let them out on the street, you know, when they're blocked in traffic, and a lot of people just keep going. They won't stop for anybody.
They'll video you, though. They'll video
that again?
You.
Oh, yeah.
I said they'll
yeah.
video you on Facebook and Instagram. They'll just go on by, but you know, like you said,
yeah.
offer of help. Somebody's in danger even, you know. Now, that's a little iffy one nowadays because, you know, everybody likes to shoot at people now. But even so, it's like you don't want to just, you know, you're just going to let people just, like, just get just accosted, just say and do nothing. You know, it's like almost like an old Seinfeld episode where they actually did just walk by. You know, you get beat up and nobody says anything.
Yeah.
Just walk by, step over you and stuff. And it's a troublesome thing to think about. You know, where we are nowadays. But like I said, that's another reason, like I said, themes and when people get to read things and it makes you think a little bit about where you really are when you get to see it live and in living color. And like you said, you actually have pictures and everything in the book, which even brings it to light even better. You also mentioned you wish this could be like maybe a TV show of some sort or a series or something. So how, when you write, do you have that in mind? Kind of to say, I'm writing it with the idea that this could be something on film at one point in time, or you just write and then, well, it looks like it could maybe, you know. How do you do that?
Well, that was why when I first came up with the idea, which is a neat idea of how I came up with it, I wrote. Well, let me go back to about my columns. They were all 500 words. I tried to write 1,000-word columns, and it just got too wordy. And a lot of people, and you read the columns in the newspapers, and they just get so long that they're boring. And, you know, you don't have that much time sometimes. So at 500 words, I seemed like I could do that in a few hours' time to make up a 500-word column, and then ended at that, you know. Well, the book, you know, one of the books I really like is Harry Potter book, but it's so big and the chapters are so long. And I thought, you know, I want to write a book that has one chapter which would possibly make a 30-minute TV show, you know, well, with commercials, of course. And so that's basically why I said almost every one of my chapters is a story in itself, you know, and then the tale goes on, you know, the next day comes on, you know. So.
Well, like I said, today, nowadays, it's easier to get stuff on more so than any other time ever. With a real good, you know, iPhone, you can put stuff out now to an extent. And then other things are not as, you know, expensive as they used to be. It's just a matter of, you know, can you edit? If you can edit, you can get something out there. I don't know if you know some people or whatnot. But that's also where, you know, even with the success of a book comes into play to where other people will be like, you know what, this would make a great story to put out there, whether it be animated or live. So it's always been amazing to me, you know, when people do write books, as far as the books that people do choose to actually put out there. You know, of course, a lot of those are usually like mystery books or, you know, action stories and stuff like that. But what about the other genres? You know, and there are some great stories out there that could probably, you know, translate very well you know, on either television or some format. I mean, we have, you know, so many, like, channels out there now. You know, it could get on somewhere, probably. It's just a matter of putting it together in a way where people would be like, okay, I'm sold on the idea. Let's order some episodes, you know, or let's make it into a small film, you know, and just put it out there, you know. So, well, hopefully it'll get out there. You never know, right?
Well, the genre is young adult, but I picked young adult as my writing genre because I don't like all the, you know, the high stuff on sexual content and the swearing and things like that. I don't like all that stuff. But the young adult, I liked it, but I call it 9 to 99. And my wife, who taught the fourth grade, she had actually read the book, the first one, Oral, The Incredible Dog, to her class during that break time. You know, they would read books. And all of them had a great time with it. And so it's readable by 9-year-old kids, but, of course, they don't have the money to buy books. So the grandparents can buy them, read them, and then give them to the kids. So that works for me.
Well, it definitely does. So let me ask you this.
So it would be a general audience probably if it were a movie, you know, a general.
Okay. What do you foresee as far as future work? You have a series going on now. Do you have are you currently working on a new publication? And if so, don't have to give us all of it, but what is it if you do have a new book? And then what do you foresee in the future over the next few years for yourself?
Well, I'm working on the fifth in that series. And like I said earlier, it's hard for me to get down and be able to write. My wife is having a lot of medical problems. And so when she has problems, that makes me have problems because I care so much. And in fact, I'm getting a little emotional sitting here thinking about it. So I have to, my writing has really slowed down a lot because I have to take care of things at home. And but I'm hoping to get another one out this year. And I haven't got a title for it yet, but I'm hoping to.
Okay. That's a great goal. And like I said, we know how difficult it is time. We only have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not eight. Like my dad used to say all the time, he used to wait till you work 8 days a week. I kept looking at him. I thought about it. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's seven, but hey, I might be wrong. You know, I was younger then. But when it comes to writing, again, when you have to have, you know, so much, you know, your synopsis of it and putting the notes together and then actually start writing it, then you change your mind. And it takes a while to get a book and get a good book out that people are going to actually read and people are actually going to purchase. Which comes to my next question, of course. How can people get copies of your book, Oral, The Incredible Dog, and other publications that you have?
Well, I know that it's on a Top Link Publishing has reproduced the first two of the dog series, but they're all in black and white books. And the ones that I have available through myself are color illustrated. And so that makes them more expensive. But, you know, I like the looks of them a lot better. And I do have black and white ones available too. But well, my website is called Grizzlies Books, and that's GRIZZLYSBOOKS.com. And so there's actually another website that's called Grizzly without the S, Book or Books, and it's actually a bookstore somewhere, I think, in South Dakota. I don't know. So I think I was on there first, but all of a sudden they showed up and people are saying, you own that bookstore? And I said, no, you got to put an S on that Grizzlies. So, and then I have a new website. So it's a really nice looking website. And they can order direct through me. And I've got prices that sound like they're higher, but they include mailing to them and the sales tax that I have to charge. So.
Oh, nice. That's convenient. Excellent. Well, Ray, I really enjoyed having you on the show. I'm glad we were able to finally get a chance to talk. Anytime I have a unique subject matter that I haven't talked about before, it always gets me, you know, pretty hyped about getting to talk about it. And then, like I said, just bringing up different subject matters when it comes to young ones. Again, there's right ways to do things and wrong ways to do things. And, you know, the whole communication factor of just people in general has gone down a lot. We kind of mentioned that earlier in the show, of course. But like I said, I believe this is a book that, you know, a lot of young people can really kind of, you know, learn some things from, people can enjoy. And again, you have a series, so that's always a good thing. You know, you've got characters that people can continue to grow up with as well, you know, as time passes on. So that's always a good thing. One more time, let people know how they can get in touch with you, your website and other mediums that you might have. I'm not sure if you're a social media guy or not.
Yeah, it's grizzliesbooks.com. And I didn't get to tell you how I started writing the book. I thought we were going to talk about that at a different time. Can I talk how the book started?
Yeah, we got time.
Oh, okay, because like I said, my wife and I really enjoy going to Colorado. We only get to go there during the summer for 2 to 3 weeks. And we always like the mountains because in Kansas in the summer it's really hot. And so we go up to like 9,000-10,000 feet where we sometimes camp. But we stay at this one place that's close to a great glacier lake, which is basically, it fills up with water from the ice and snow that melts. And so it's really not fish in there. And so there's no movement. So there's no ducks and stuff looking for fish. And so we sit on the edge of that lake. And then my dog, which was Golden Retriever, kept staring out to the that lake, and I'm sitting there watching him, and he just intent on one thing. I don't know what he was watching. And I looked at Linda and I said, "What do you think he's thinking about?" And she says, "I don't know." And I said, all of a sudden it came to me, and I said, "Dear, I'm going to write a book about telepathic dogs, so I know what he's talking about or thinking about." So that's how it all started. And I went home and started writing. So the first one really fast. After every book, it took longer and longer. The last one, when my wife was started having problems, she had brain tumors, and so that the last one took 2 years to write. So that slows things down when you're having to do other things. But I really appreciate you getting a hold of me too. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, no problem, and I'm glad. I almost forgot to say that, you know, about the story. And it's something that, you know, just on the pet side, because I used to have a dog back in the day, and there are those moments where it's like, what are they thinking about? They're just staring at something so intently, and, you know, just kind of, then they look at you, and then they look back at whatever it was that they were looking at, and it's like, you know, there should be something to decipher that. I know technology eventually will probably pop up to where we're actually going to pull it off, probably not when we're around anymore, but it's getting close. But sometimes it just, yeah, you know, they really are thinking about something real hard and probably want to tell us, and we can't communicate with them and they can't communicate with us, and we're both frustrated. So that's a pretty unique story right now of how your book came about. I enjoyed it as well, Ray. We'll have to get you on again when you have the next project coming up. Yes, definitely we'll reach out to you on Books to Read show. Because that's why, like I said, I love the subject that, you know, authors come up with. There's so many just different things that you can really talk about rather than the stuff that everybody prefers to talk about. You know what I'm saying? I've always said there's nothing saturated about industries. There's enough people to really want to hear what you have to say or talk about. You just have to get it to them. And you mentioned promotion earlier. So, again, that's I'm glad you have a great website to be able to do that with. So thank you again, Ray. I'm glad to have had you on the show tonight. Oh, one more thing? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it's a bummer when top, you know, you keep hearing so-and-so's bestseller this, bestseller that, and it seems like you have to be a president of the United States or a big criminal to get a best-selling book out there when the good people that are writing books can't get publicized.
Oh, man, you almost have to be Al Capone out here nowadays, boy, I tell you. But,
yeah.
Oh, man, well, we'll see, Ray. Like I said, you keep doing what you do, because, like I said, they're out there, and we just got to get to them. That's all, I always say that, and there's enough people out there to enjoy everything that's out there. You just got to get enough people to see it and hear it and read it and want to talk about it. So that's one of the reasons I have to get more and more people in tune with. There's other alternatives in regards to, you know, publication or movies or film or radio or whatever it is. It's not just that one segment. There's others out there, and hopefully people will appreciate tonight. And getting to hear about Oro the Incredible Dog, written by Ray the Grizz Wakeup. Thank you again, Ray, for being on the show tonight, man.
Awesome. Thank you. And if you send me your address on the text, I'll send you my book.
I will definitely do that. Thank you. That'll be awesome, man. I appreciate that.
Okay, you bet.
Take care now.
Bye.
Well, that was definitely worth it. Having Ray on the show tonight, talking about his book. He has a series of books, so that's even more interesting. That he has a set of characters that he's been, you know, carrying on and working on for a period of time. So can't wait to get my copy, and I'll definitely plug it as soon as I get my copy. I'll take a picture and put that on. I might even read a little something. I've been seeing people do that more and more. I might even do a little bit of that for the younger crowd, you know. So we'll see. Definitely appreciate being able to have him on, because I was not technically prepared to do another whole show tonight for sure. But I'm very happy that he was on tonight. We did a great job kind of getting his information out there. He has a website. A lot of people forget about the promotional side of things. If you have a website, everything else can come from your website. If you not have a website and you're offering a product and or a service, it gets kind of dicey out there because it's too much competition, right? But once you have a website you can draw people to, the people can make their own decisions on what they want to get. It makes things much easier for you. Appreciate Ray also with regards to the subject matter. Like I said, we brought up bullying a little bit. We brought up just why, you know, that's even possible even nowadays. Because back in the day, it wasn't prevalent. That wasn't something that you heard a lot of like you do nowadays, every day. You see what I'm saying? On the news, you know. So I appreciate him bringing up that a little bit as far as just his mantras, as far as how he grew up. That's going to end the show for tonight on Books to Read. Look for another Books to Read show coming in the near future. There's going to be another Women in Business show featuring the Ocon twins in the very near future, so look out for that. So thanks to all who listen to IMTN Worldwide Radio and the different shows. Please download the Spreaker app. Go to Spreaker.com, follow the IMTN Worldwide Radio page, and make sure you register for free to become a follower on that page. Help me get on iHeartRadio. I appreciate that. Follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Follow on Twitter, IMTM Radio. Make sure you follow my business Instagram, IMTM Worldwide, where you'll see information about my first film that I'm creating on my own, shooting on my own, editing on my own. It's called Transitions. I'm coming out soon. Shoot the first scenes of that on this Sunday, actually, so I'm very excited about that. Also, there's a teaser for Falling Star, which is my first produced film. That was last year. I was co-director on that one, and I'm very excited about that, and the Ocon twins who live in London, England, who star in that film, very excited about what's coming for them as well. So make sure to, you know, follow along as I continue to do a lot of stuff in 2019. Again, I appreciate all the support. Please email me, chris@imtnworldwide.com, if you need information or want to do any business. I appreciate y'all's time, but I got to go. I'll talk to y'all later. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio. And this was Books to Read featuring Ray the Grizz Wakeup talking about Oro the Incredible Dog. Y'all take care and have a great weekend.